Thank you. Good morning. So the title is Image-Guided Cancer Treatment. First, before you treat anything, you really have to realize what you're dealing with. Number one, you've got to find it before you treat it. And before you treat it, it makes sense to understand the biology of what you are treating. Did you realize that certain cancers are indolent? In other words, a strong immune system fights the cancer and keeps it under control. Specifically, being a few miles from the ground zero at 9/11, from the toxic exposure, many of our first responders developed cancer. Surprisingly, the first three cancers that were found by the site that follow statistics said that the first three were skin cancers, basal cell, the common one, squamous cell, the more aggressive one, and melanoma, the deadly one. And lung cancer, surprisingly, was fourth on the list, and prostate cancer was number five. Now, the good news, because I take care of the first responders, we follow people with imaging. The first thing we use in imaging is the finger. You speak to somebody about the symptoms, then you examine, put the finger in. If you feel a lump, good, you document the lump. And since I'm there with the patient, telling the patient, I feel a lump, I put on the ultrasound machine and show them where the lump is. Then we look at the lump with the different ultrasound technologies. By the way, ultrasound is not just a picture. It is probably 10 different types of technologies wrapped up in many different applications. So the field of ultrasound has gone from looking at babies half a century ago to looking at brain cancer in babies inside the pregnant womb, or doing the heart surgery inside the baby before it's born under real-time ultrasound guidance. So we're talking about a whole different scenario of imaging and image-guided treatment. So back to the fifth cancer, prostate cancer. There are a couple of types of prostate cancer. The most common one is Gleason 3 plus 3 or Gleason 6. This is low-grade prostate cancer. The first thing you learn about low-grade prostate cancer is most people die with it rather than from it. So the biology is important. If you tell people, if you have truly a low-grade tumor, you have a good chance of outliving the disease. So choose your treatment accordingly. Back to treatment. How do we choose treatment accordingly? With the firefighters with cancer and the first responders with prostate cancer, they would come in every year. I show them the tumor that we found. We'd see the size hasn't changed, and more importantly, the aggressive features have not changed. So, what is aggression? The best marker is looking at tumor blood flow. Open your hand. If these are cancer vessels feeding a tumor, do you want this many vessels or this many? Obviously, fewer feeding cancer vessels is better than this or that. More importantly, since treatment has many side effects, we want to follow the course of treatment. For example, is the tumor with this many aggressive vessels working? And does it go down to this, or does it go up to this? If the treatment isn't working, we can quickly verify the efficacy of treatment with the imaging. We can tell the doctor and the patient the treatment's working well or it's not working. Try something else in a timely manner. Another thing we'll discuss later in all cancers, breast cancer, melanoma, brain cancer, kidney cancers, when tumors die, sometimes they get bigger. 30 years ago, we started looking at tumor size. 20 years ago, we realized that sometimes tumors who are inactive or not aggressive or dying get larger as they swell with benign fluid of dead cells or the immune cells that go in to destroy the tumor, fill the space with healing cells. That being said, we have ways now to follow treatment accurately and quantitatively. So let's get on to the first slide. Fine, so technology, education being aside, in 2000, I started doing extensive work in cancer imaging. After many years, we realized that with ultrasound and MRI, we could see prostate cancer better than you could feel it with a finger. I'm not degrading the digital exam at all. As a matter of fact, the finger exam, the digital rectal exam, is often more accurate than the PSA. Why? Because the PSA is a random blood test that was basically designed to predict rape results. In other words, it found the antigen, the biochemistry of semen, seminal fluid, in rape victims. So it was a useful marker, but not that accurate. The digital rectal exam, cancers are hard. If you feel a hard mass, it's more likely to be a prostate cancer. It could be a scar too, or some stones in the prostate, which are fairly common, but the digital rectal is good. At Memorial Sloan Kettering, a presentation was given to the New York Rankin Society in 2005. And to our surprise, because I was sitting with all my fellow radiologists at this point, and Dr. Hrisak, who's a worldwide lecturer in MRI technology, told us that 82% of cancer was missed in men under 60. Worse, the accuracy of a biopsy being correctly interpreted in 2005 was 58%. At Memorial, they were fortunately doing whole mount pathology specimens. In other words, you take out the entire prostate gland when they were doing that and sectioned it carefully to see where the cancer was and if you missed anything, which obviously biopsies were missing a lot. So the gold standard at that point was whole mount pathology. Now, let's look at cancer neovascularity. The tumor vessels, like you saw in the fingers, can be on the outside peripheral or penetrating, that is going into the gland, and oftentimes both. We're looking at vessels as the primary and most accurate way of finding and following cancers. So, of course, cancer vessels are not straight, they're irregular, they're tortuous, and there are a lot more vessels. In other words, instead of this many vessels, two fingers, you're up to 10 fingers. We have technology that measures the number of tumor vessels quantitatively. In 1994, in Europe, let me segue, because after I was in medical training in the 80s, I asked my chief of radiology as a resident in New York, I wanted to go into the field of ultrasound. And he said, no, go into angiography, do this, do that. Ultrasound is for babies. Well, since then, ultrasound has become the primary diagnostic and treatment-guided tool worldwide. Unfortunately, sometimes medical innovation is slow. So in 1994, the Europeans were using blood vessel technology, which has just become approved in the United States last year. So there are many ways of doing it. And if you can't get an answer that you expect from your doctor, look around, just go on the internet, see what everybody else is doing. So contrast imaging is now used to give a better look at the vessel flow.